right, if you turn to your Bible, in your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. So interesting. I thought I knew what I was going to be preaching on this morning earlier in the week, which never happens. And lo and behold, one thing after another, it kept changing. So I had like two or three sermons I was going back and forth on. The funny thing is, one of them was entitled, Don't Go There. We're not going there today. So we're looking at a different passage. I just pray that it'll be a blessing. And it's something that jumped out at me when I was going through the scriptures probably a month or so ago. Have you guys ever had that when you're reading through the Bible and just something grabs you? You got to go back to it. And this is one of those times it kind of grabbed me, and it made me look at things a little bit different. I said, I got to go back and look at this again and study it. So we're going to be in Matthew 22 throughout this time. But the title of the sermon this morning is, Whose Son Is He? Whose Son Is He? Now, throughout Jesus' ministry, he was repeatedly questioned by people. The religious leaders, other people, would come up and ask him questions. The disciples, when they asked him questions, they were searching for wisdom. They were asking for guidance. They were trying to learn. They had sincere questions. They loved the Lord. They had a relationship with him. It wasn't to trick him up or to be deceitful. But on the other hand, many questions that were asked by others, the religious leaders of the time, they were asking these questions specifically to try to trap Jesus, to try to show and prove that he was not the Messiah, that he was not the Christ that had come to deliver Israel. They didn't want him in their business. They had the control, they had the power, they had the prestige, they had the people looking to them. They did not want to lose that. So any opportunity they could come to, they would take and ask questions, trying to get Jesus to mess up, to contradict what he said. You know what the beautiful thing is? He never contradicted himself once, just as the Bible does not contradict itself in any way, shape, or form. So they asked questions, trying to trick him, but they didn't. And the other thing is, they didn't realize Jesus was not like other men. You may come to me and ask me a question. You may be able to fool me and trick me in something, to word something in a certain way. You know, this is what happens in law. In a court case, the lawyers are asking these questions, and they word them just in a way to try to trip somebody up. Jesus wasn't like us, though. He knew their hearts ahead of time. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what their plans were, where they were trying to lead him down. And so he could answer in ways that we couldn't. He had ultimate wisdom. He was very wise every time that he answered. In fact, his answers were so piercing, at times, he silenced his critics. In our passage today, we see, actually, he had just basically shut up the Sadducees, one of the religious groups. They had come to him asking him questions, and his answers basically shut them down. So now it was the Pharisees' turn, the other major religious group of the time. In fact, the one that came forward out of the Pharisees was a recognized lawyer, one that knew the law and also the laws of the land. And he asked the question, what was the greatest commandment of all? Now we need to remember that these people did not ask to learn, but they asked to deceive. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We were just talking about wisdom in Sunday school. Where does the wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning and end of true wisdom. And the Pharisees may have seemed wise to others. They may have seemed wise to themselves, but inside there was no true wisdom. There was nothing but deceit, sin, wickedness. So we're going to pick up just a little before where we're going to really dig into today, but we're going to start in verse 34 so we can get the context of everything, of seeing how this progresses into the question that Jesus asked them. So Matthew 22, starting in verse 34, it says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? It wasn't a very, you know, it seemed like an innocent question, but Jesus knew where he was coming from. When Jesus answered the way he did, then it amazed them. Jesus answered or said unto them in verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. But now in verse 41, we see a turning. It was now Jesus' turn to ask them a question. And this is where, again, we're going to focus at today. In verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David. And I have a question for each and every single one of you today. Whose son is he? Whose son was Jesus? Whose son was the Christ? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to open up your word and to share the message, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll move in hearts today. Father, if there's anyone here that has not had a proper perspective of who you truly are, Lord, I pray that today, O Holy Spirit, that you'll convict hearts, that we'll see people saved, that they'll finally come to the realization of who you are and what you did for each and every single one of us. Oh, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone lost here today, that today will be the day of their salvation. And Lord, as always, I need you. I need your power. I need your guidance. Please guide and direct every word, every thought that I have, and may it be clear, and may you do the moving, Lord. We love you. We thank you. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the question's asked, whose son is he? Jesus was asking them, who is the Christ a son of? Now remember, we refer to Jesus Christ. But at the time, the term Christ was referring to Christ as in the Messiah. He is asking about the anointed one. That is, the Messiah that was prophesied to deliver Israel from bondage. The one that would set up the kingdom. Who was the Christ? Now again, we look back and we see Jesus was the Christ. We believe that he was and that he is the Savior. But that's what he was asking them. Who is the Christ? Whose son is he? Now, what is also interesting with this is that on Wednesday, Brother Brookholder was here, and this similar question was asked by Jesus to the disciples. And Peter answered, Jesus was asking, who am I? Who do you think I am? And they said, well, some say Elijah, some say this, some say that. And he said, well, who do you think I am? And they said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the living God. They recognized who he was. Jesus, when he asked the Pharisees, he got a different answer, though, didn't he? He got a completely different answer because they weren't looking to him the same way with truth. In verse 41, to read again. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstools. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And what's interesting here is when Jesus asked the question, what was the response? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. He silenced them. They came asking him, trying to trip him up. He answered honestly. Then he asked them, who is the son? Whose son is Christ? So we see here first and foremost that the Pharisees, when they answered correctly, but they were completely wrong. They say, well, how can that be? How can they answer correctly but miss the big picture? Well, they did. In a sense, the Pharisees did answer correctly. They said the Christ would be the son of David. He would be in the lineage of David, meaning Christ would be in the lineage of King David on the human side, a descendant of the king. And Jesus met these requirements. He was in the lineage of King David. On Sunday evening, if you were here, Pastor Nathan did an amazing job of showing how Jesus, met the requirements that were set forth, that he was not only just in the lineage through the marriage of Joseph and Mary, but through, so he was, so we see the kingly lineage, that even though Joseph was not his actual birth father, because Joseph and Mary were married when Jesus was born, he was born into that family. They're getting and securing that he would be an heir of that throne. But then also that Mary had a family lineage also back to the King David. So if you missed Sunday evening last week, when it comes available online, you should go and look at it. A lot of the sermons are being put online so that you can hear those. And he did a masterful job of tying that together. It really opened it up. So we see here that the Pharisees, when they were going and looking at it, they said, okay, it's going to be somebody that is going to be born a descendant of David, that would be come forward, that would come forth and deliver them. So in a sense, they were correct in the fact that it would be a descendant. But they were tied up in thinking that it was only going to be a man, a prophet, somebody, a king that would come forward. But Christ was not just a human, was he? He wasn't. He was so much more than this. He was actually God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And if they had opened up their eyes and their hearts, they would have realized this. They could have opened up the Old Testament in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, therefore the Lord himself shall call you, give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You're like, well, what does Emmanuel mean? Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Think about it. When the Pharisees were questioning Jesus, they were questioning God in the flesh, but they were blinded. Their sin was overwhelming them, and they did not recognize, nor ever recognized, of who he truly was. They were correct in the answer that the Christ would be a descendant of David, but they failed to recognize the bigger, more important, greater truth. The fact that Christ was not just the son of the king, an heir to be, but also he would be and is God in the flesh. So we see the response of the Pharisees. Their perspective skewed. They were right, but they really weren't. They missed it. Now we see where Jesus moves in and he corrects them. And he gives the example and explains to them how they are missing the truth. Jesus asked them a simple question, but a very cutting question. Verse 43, he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? If the Christ, the Messiah, would simply be a son relative of David, a descendant of his, as they were saying, as they thought, then why would David repeatedly throughout the Psalms go to the Lord for help? This Messiah that was coming, he had a relationship with him. Why would he call the Christ Lord? You know, David was the king over Israel, wasn't he? He was the king. He did not answer to anyone. Yet time and time again, he kneels down in prayer, asking for forgiveness, asking for guidance, asking for shelter, deliverance from his enemies, from his Lord. He was asking his Lord and Savior. He was asking God for that deliverance. So Jesus asks them, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? If the Pharisees were correct that it was going to be just a human descendant of David, then how does David have this relationship with him? Mind you, David wrote these words by under inspiration almost 1,000 years earlier. How would David be able to do this then? It had to be something different than just a human descendant. And it was. It is. It's Jesus. It was God. The key here is that David was crying out to his heavenly Father, his God, his Lord. The Christ was not just a human being. It was not just a descendant. He would not just be a descendant, but he was also God. This is the fancy term, the hypostatic union. Jesus the Christ was 100% human, but at the same time, 100% God in the flesh. This is how Christ could be the Son of David and at the same time David's Lord and Savior. And I pray that he's your Lord and Savior today also. Just as he did when the devil tempted him in the desert, Jesus went right to the scriptures to rebuke the Pharisees. Remember when Jesus was tempted? The devil came up to him and he said, "Turn these stones into bread. Cast yourself and the angels will bring you up. Kneel before me and I'll give you all the world, the world system." And what did Jesus do? Did he argue with them? No. He simply quoted scripture. Went back to the Word, which he is the Word. And he rebuked the devil and the devil ran. He fled. What does Jesus do again? Same exact thing. He goes back to scripture. Turn to Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110:1. Now, would you guys think that the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the world, would have read Psalms at this time? Yes, they knew them quite well. They would sing them in their services. And so what Jesus did was he went back and he went to something that every single person in Israel would have recognized. Psalm 110:1, a psalm of David. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstools." He went back and quoted scripture to show them their error. How then can he be a human descendant when David here 1,000 years earlier, the one that we all look to, talking to the Pharisees, how can this be if he was just a human? There are multiple occurrences actually of David calling out to his Lord and declares that he is God. Psalm 36, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." His Lord was his God. Psalm 100, 1 through 3, a praise that was sung. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." That's about all that I can make also when I sing. I don't know about you guys. But "make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." And verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." The Christ was not just to be a prophet or a descendant of the king, but he was and is the prophet, the priest, and the king. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that David kneeled before, crying out, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." That's who David was crying out to. That was the Christ that was prophesied of. That is who David knew. That is who the disciples knew. That is who I pray that each and every one of you know. But we see here the Pharisees did not recognize it. He did not. So with this rebuke, quoting scripture, we see Jesus shuts down the false teachings and the beliefs of the Pharisees. With scripture, he proves the point that Christ was much more than just a mere man. Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. But finally then, and bringing it forward, the question rings, but whose son do you believe he is? The question was asked of the Pharisees, but I ask you today, who's Jesus? What is your view of him? Whose son do you believe that he is? I would challenge you that any view of Jesus as anything other than God is incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. Yes, he is the Son of God. Yes, he is referred to as the Son of Man. But he had always been and will always be God. No lesser. God in the flesh, who humbled himself and took on flesh in order to be the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Nailed. Tormented. But he hung there and stayed there until he died to pay for our sins, and then rose from the grave 3 days later. You say, well, why can you say this? How do you say this? Well, let's go back and do what Jesus did. Let's look at the scriptures and see what they say and what they declare who Jesus was. John 1:1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The true Bible has it here as, and the Word was God. Not a God, not a lowercase g, capital G, God, our Heavenly Father, the One. The Word here being Jesus Christ. And it declares here, in the beginning was the Word, from the very beginning. And not only that, if you're confused by that, saying, well, maybe Jesus wasn't just God, and he says, and the Word was with God, saying that, okay, God and the Word were there together at the same time. And if you still don't get it, John then goes on and clarifies it even more, that the Word was God. Don't miss it. Jesus, the Word, is God. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. That is the true God and eternal life. Jesus was God, is God, and if you want eternal life, it is only found through him, by him. If you still don't believe me, John 10:30, I and my Father are two. No, one. One. And that's just how you understand it too. They're one. Isaiah 9:6, let's go to the Old Testament. For unto us is born, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor. Now, what does this next one say? The Mighty God. This is the Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah coming. The Pharisees knew this scripture, but they refused, they neglected, they overlooked it. They did not want to recognize who the true and living God was. He was standing before them, pleading to them, teaching them, and time after time they rejected him. Time after time they thought they could trip him up and tear him down. And every single time he came out triumphant, because he is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is who Jesus Christ is. Colossians 2:6-9. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's a warning. Don't believe the false brethren. Don't believe those false prophets. Don't believe what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and anyone else would teach. Go back to the truth. And in verse 9, for in him, who? Jesus. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God in Jesus Christ the man. 100% man, 100% God. That is who Jesus is. So, why is this important? Because if you don't have a proper understanding of who Christ is, then how can you be saved? Seriously, how will you ever be saved? If you believe that Jesus Christ is anything less than God, can you be saved? That's a question. Can you be saved? 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Again here, who is the Son? Who? Christ. Who is Christ? He was the Messiah. He was the one prophesied. He is the one that Jesus described to the Pharisees was going to be God in the flesh. It was Jesus. We see here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is that Messiah, is the Christ, is born of God. It's a proof. And we just saw how the Pharisees did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. And not only that, that they had an improper view of the Christ as being God. We are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. We all need a payment for our sins, our sin nature. And if we do not accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will pay for our sins in a place called hell for all eternity. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Messiah, the one that came 2,000 years ago, walked with man, lived a perfect, sinless life, laid down his life for all mankind and paid for all sin. Your sin has been paid for. It is under the blood, but you need to accept him. So who do you believe the Christ is? Who do you believe Jesus was? Are you like the way that I was when I was younger? I went to Sunday school, different denominations, here, there, reading, seeing the pictures of Jesus, or who they think he was. Again, we've talked about that before, Pastor Nathan has. We don't have an accurate picture of Jesus. They didn't have photos or anything at that time. But when I was younger, I would read these lessons, and sometimes these lessons I thought, well, they're a fairy tale, or it's just a story of this guy back then, or I didn't have a proper understanding of who Jesus was and who Jesus is. Maybe you're banking that your eternal salvation is going to be based on some of the Sunday school stories that you heard when you were younger. Maybe you're trusting in your church membership, other things that you've done working that way. But eternal life only comes through the Christ. And if you don't know who he truly is and was, then you can't have eternal life. You've got to come to the realization, first and foremost, that you're a sinner, separated from a holy God. Because God cannot have sin in his presence. And therefore, since we are sinners, we're born that way, we need a payment. Again, Jesus came, he died on a cross for our sins. And he took that sin and he paid it all. But then we must, on our own free will, come to the realization that he is God and say, Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me of my sins. It's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that we can inherit, we can achieve eternal life. And it is offered to all human beings. This gift is free to you today. And it comes by simply believing that Jesus was God, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead, and he now waits for you to invite him into your heart. That's it. Jesus is Christ. He is God. And he loves you more than you will ever know. So will you invite him into your heart today? Will you? Do you finally realize, as I did back when I was 25 years old, back in 2002, I realized who Jesus truly was, and I realized who I really was, and how sinful I really was compared to a holy God? Will you come to the realization and ask him to save you today? Or will you reject him like the Pharisees? Will you go back questioning, saying, no, I don't think so? Choice is yours. He won't force you, but he's there standing with open arms, asking you, come to me. He did all the hard work. He did it all. Dying a horrible death. I could only imagine. I know what my toe feels like right now. I stubbed the end of my bed the other day and it hurts, let alone what he went through. The suffering, the torment, the torture. But he did it all because he loves you. He thought of you. He thought of each and every single one of us while he was hanging on that cross. And he stayed there. Yes, he could have called 10,000 angels. Why? Because he was God. But he didn't. He knew that if he did that, there was no hope for any of us. He wouldn't do that. He loves you too much, so much. He wants you to come to him today. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not a maybe, not an if. Thou shalt, you will be saved. For with the heart, not with the mind, not with reason, but with the heart, through faith, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's that simple, and it's available for everyone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you invite him into your heart today? If you never have trusted Jesus as your Savior, why wait? You don't know if you have tomorrow. You don't know what may present itself later today. I mean, working in the hospital, so many times people come in They had no idea their day would end up where they were at. Oh, automobile accident, a stroke, something else. We don't know. Every moment is a gift of God, giving us another opportunity. One, if you already know Him, to serve Him, to do His will, to glorify Him. But secondly, if you're not saved here this morning, it's another opportunity. Him being patient with you, asking, pleading, come to me. I did it all. Just please recognize who I was, and I will hold on to you for all eternity. With every head bowed, no one looking around, the choices